Okay, up next, we'll take your phone calls. Our special guest tonight, Stephen Quayle, right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with Stephen Quayle. Stephen, what's up next on your plate? What are you going to be doing in the future?
Well, that's a great question. My friend Klaus Dona, who is probably one of the, like I said, I got to give credit where credit's due, one of the best investigative researchers in hidden archaeology. I'd put he and Jonathan Gray. They cover different stuff, but they're the two guys that are out there doing a fabulous job. We're talking about doing a new book on the giants, but the contemporary version. So we're out getting photos that are real time with newspapers to show that they were really taken at the time that we say they were. And George, I want to put a compendium together of all of the stuff that we've found. You know, since I first published Genesis 6 Giants, which, by the way, now I think it's in its fifth or sixth printing. And again, I want to take all the loose ends and pull it all together. And I believe a collective effort is better than just a single effort, because I have done what I can do. And there are a lot of people that have contributed, a lot of people that have given fantastic information, i.e. the pilot and others. And, you know, I think that what I'm trying to simply do is say, look at the evidence. Don't just dismiss it all as myth. Don't dismiss it all as legend. And I want to share that we put a package together, too, for the Coast to Coast listeners called the Tribulation Trio. And that's all three books at a special price. And, look, again, I hardly ever talk about my books. Somebody said I'm my worst salesman. But so the point is, though, is that when you get the benefit of the amount of data there, you know, that's what you're basically going to be able to base some of your decisions or conclusions on. And I think it's something that people need to know, that even as I've done what I've done, there's still so much more that's unfolding. And quite candidly, it is mind-blowing and mind-baffling. I'll also be and will also be attacking the little people in a very orchestrated way, because it isn't just the stuff of fairy tales from Norway.
Let's go to the phones. Wildcard line, welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us.
Good morning.
Hi.
Am I on?
He's still there? I guess we lost him. Poor guy had been holding for so long. Well, we'll try another wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello. My name's William ahead, from Victorville, California. How are you tonight?
Good, William.
I have a question. One of the oldest running shows on sci-fi is the Stargate, old TV show. And you talk about how well did they get into it? They pull in the U.S. Air Force to help delegate how things are run and stuff. I'm just curious how accurate that is true, reference what we're talking about tonight, or you guys are talking about tonight.
Wow, what a great question. I believe that the Stargate series has been so successful because it is preparing people, number one, until the movie Stargate came out, which in my opinion was a great movie. People never could understand how you could traverse such vast distances of time and space. Obviously, everything was equated. If you're transversing space, there would be a time factor. Yet if you bend time, and I don't want to get into that right now, but the point being, I believe the Stargate series is so popular and is in its repeat. Sometimes you can see it, I think, every night on Sci-Fi. The point being, Sci-Fi Channel, is I believe that they're getting people ready to accept that. Now, George, again, they who control the release of this information in such a manner to put their spin on it will basically have the world to eat out of their hands. Because, again, it's just like, in my opinion, the war on terror. The war on terror should have been identifying the reasons why the terror exists, not just dealing with all the different terrorists. And, you know, I've written about that, and I've kind of put that to the side, because I think the ancient stuff that now we're seeing, Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. That which will be has already been. If I can get a handle on history, as I'm trying to present to your listeners tonight, if they understand ancient history, ancient technology, then they can see how that relates to the future history and future technology. I believe that the Stargate series is, if you will, priming people, or some people could say programming people, television programming, to get this whole concept of alternate universes brought into ours through Stargates. And again, you can use the word Angel Gate.
You think that's happened with movies and television, Stephen?
Oh, absolutely.
Where they try to prepare us for what's going to happen?
Well, sure. Let's take Jericho. You know, I guess probably the most...
That's frightening.
Yeah, most interesting, and I think that's the best illustration to your question, George, because Jericho is dealing with, obviously, the aftermath of a nuclear war. You know, we used to talk, you and I, in some of our very first shows, talked about preparedness and things like that, and then, you know, the government was almost silent, you know, and now they're telling everybody be prepared to shelter in place for 12 weeks. 12 weeks, that's 3 months. So there's been a big change, and I think Jericho is probably the most telling and compelling program on TV right now from the standpoint of obviously there's a message being stated, and I believe the preparation. Look, we have expert after expert talking. I mean, Jerry Corsi, Paul Williams, there are some bright, bright people out there. You know, and again, the whole idea of nuclear weapons being on the market is so obvious and so easy. I mean, years ago, you could buy them for $5 million. You could do it in Austria. You could do it in some of the breakaway republics. But, you know, $5 million, when you've got a nation of billionaires or a world of billionaires, that's not a lot of money. The point being is Jericho's the best example of that. Obviously, I believe all the flying saucer movies, the derivatives of those flying saucer movies were preparing us. So I think we've been totally programmed. I think the word television programming, you know, people say to me all the time, I don't believe it unless I see it on TV. And then I say to them right back, then how do you know that what you see on TV is the truth? I said, because you've got famous editors and news people, the heads of major news organizations saying, the news is what we say it is. Now, that's not what news is, but that's what basically programming is, or mind control.
By the way, Stephen, $5 million is a lot of money to a third world atomic scientist who might want to sell his knowledge.
Well, and A.Q. Khan of Pakistan, let me share this with you. You know, it's kind of like the old song, you can get anything that you want at Alice's restaurant.
Yeah.
Well, there was the equivalent of what I would call the nuclear smorgasbord that took place throughout the world. And this is something that I interviewed, George, as you know, I've said this on the radio. I interviewed guys that would laugh about the deals and how stupid American intelligence was. And it was interesting because when I did the first show with Art and we talked about biological warfare and some of the stuff that we talked about in that show, Breathe No Evil Days, that's when a form of Crimean Congo hemorrhagic fever broke out in Pakistan. And it and coast to coast overwhelmed the Jane's Defense website, and that was a biological release of a bioweapon that was being tested on the borders of Pakistan and Iraq, the whole border region.
Let's go to our first time caller line. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Abe in Chicago.
Hi, Abe. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just had a question for Steve, and this is really fascinating. It's great stuff. And I was just wondering if you were familiar with Michael Tsarian, who says that the Nephilim are in suspended animation entombed in Iraq. And that's one of the reasons that we're there right now.
Well, I agree with that because, again, from Dr. Ernst Moldashev's literal experience in the last several years with the Nepalese giant suspended animation. But, again, you know, the Bible not only talks about, it talks about some of these entities being chained until someone unchains them and loosens them. The statement of so many eyewitnesses is that we were definitely looking for ancient technology. It was believed that Saddam Hussein had some pieces to a Stargate, and I think that what people have got to realize is the ancient technology that is captured or that is brought to the surface, so to speak, we move in typically as a country, the United States, and we buy off the governments with either weapons deals or cash, whatever it takes to get that technology so that others can have it. Right now, you've got the major countries of the world that are aware of this technology. Everybody's out kind of pulling a Raiders of the Lost Ark, looking for whatever they can find. In other words, it's a return to the days of the SS almost, where people want that power. And unfortunately, I think, you know, Tom Horn, George, made a wonderful statement. He said, some gates and some doors should never be opened. And I think, again, it's like Pandora's box, you know. When Pandora's box is open, and it will be open, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth. You know, even the angels, if people believe they exist or don't believe they exist, but even angels don't have a word for what's getting ready to happen. They use the word woe. And I got news for you. I don't know what woe means beyond it's going to get bad.
Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Stephen Quayle on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah.
My name's Holly, and I'm in Salem, Oregon. And my question for him is, does he believe that Nephilims are gargoyles that can change themselves into humans? One tried to date me one time.
Oh, boy. Could I go there with the female version of that? No, I think that, you know, look, gargoyles typically are creatures from the underworld. Nephilim are fallen angels, and the Nephilim can shapeshift, okay? There's a fascinating thing most people don't know, and even people that are unaware of it, but shapeshifting is something that is very, very prominent in the angelic realm. I mean, so the point is that gargoyles are not fallen angels, but they are supernatural entities.
I wonder who she tried to date in those days, Stephen.
Well, I got to tell you something. I hope she didn't kiss a frog. I hope she didn't think she was kissing a prince and ended up with a frog.
West of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah, go ahead, please.
Hi, I had a question. I wanted to know if he thought that dinosaurs are a product of amalgamation.
That's a great question. The answer to that is yes. I believe, listen, I don't buy the typical stories of the age of the dinosaurs. Are you familiar, ma'am, with the Ica stones?
No, sir.
Okay, I would encourage everybody, George, that wants to know about this, to go on a Google search, whatever search in Yahoo, whatever, and type in Ica, I-C-A stones. Because the gentleman I'm talking about that's going to be co-authoring my next book that we're doing together, he was the last man to interview Dr. Javier Cabrera in Ica, or Ica, Peru. And the deal is they found literally thousands, 10,000 stones with actual images of everything from giants and dinosaurs at the same time. There are temples in Cambodia and Laos that show stegosauruses on them with people. So, again, I don't buy the classic evolutionary model, and I believe that absolutely that the genetic engineering that must have taken place, I think Tyrannosaurus Rex and some of the other things. You know, I live in Montana. We have one of the most famous dinosaur centers in the world here, Museum of the Rockies. Actually, Jack Horner, the curator, was one of Steven Spielberg's, he was Steven Spielberg's experts on Jurassic Park. So I live in Dinosaurville, Bozeman. That's my terminology for it. And I can tell you point blank that there's a lot of stuff that is available to show that there were footprints of humans and dinosaurs along each other. And again, I take a whole different view of this. I take it from the fallen angel that they were tampering and the fallen angels had sex with everything. And don't ask me how they do it. I suppose or expect that they can shapeshift and, you know, assume whatever size is necessary to get the job done.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. That's a great question, by the way.
I appreciate you being part of the program. East of the Rockies, you're on with Stephen Quayle. Hi there.
Hi, Stephen.
Hi.
Hi. My question to you is, in Missouri, just recently, there was a constitutional amendment, too, that was very controversial there. And it was about the stem cell, or actually yes, embryonic stem cell.
And it passed.
Yeah. And my question to you is that I thought it was a pretty deceptive and dangerous piece of legislation because it actually would approve of cloning, maybe not for birth, but for research, whatever that means. And I just wanted to know your opinion on somatic cell nuclear transfer, which is another name for cloning.
Well, first of all, I believe it's way beyond where most people believe it is. I believe that we now, based on what people in the military and others have told me, scientists who have literally been running for their lives and are scared to death, that it's so much further advanced. I believe this is, again, gradualism. And the point being is it doesn't take too much to see that within several weeks of each other, the Missouri, or the state of Missouri, deals with that at the same time the announcements made of combining animal and human DNA from the British. So I think it's very deceptive, and I think, obviously, by your question, you know where it's headed, too.
I do want to point out, though, with Amendment 2, though, is it does not make reference to cloning of people.
No, and George, here's the thing. There are ways to deal with stem cell, like natal, umbilical natal stem cell. I have a friend who's a brilliant doctor in North Carolina. And let me share this. I am for life. I am not for life at the expense of slaughtering innocent life. And I believe that, you know, what people have got to understand is that, just like the old adage, there's two ways to, or there's more than one way, and I don't believe in skinning cats, but that's an old idiom that came into use. The point is that there are multiple approaches, and I think that, quite candidly, a lot of the stem cell reports are nothing more than the right hand keeping you busy, while the left hand underground, does some really nasty stuff.
Well, you know, also, though, the people who are opposed to Amendment 2 generally support in vitro and fertilization, which means you do cast out a number of embryos to get the good one.
Well, and again, but the thing is that, you know, even women who, produce multiple eggs and through their whole childbearing cycle, you know, the thing is in vitro fertilization, though, you're using both, you're using both of the components that are familiar to our species, okay? The point is that I have the problem with transgenic, and I have the problem with taking animal and human DNA and trying to attenuate or accelerate the boundaries. I believe that there are boundaries in everything. There are boundaries in every realm, and when you cross those boundaries, you have unintended consequences and unexpected problems.
Well, I agree with you, and as you and I both agree, we are going to make monsters if we keep genetically altering.
Yep. And I think that what people don't realize is even thousands of years ago, some of the prophecies, I'm talking about Hebrew prophecies, I'm talking about scribes such as Esdras, talked about in the last days women would give birth to monsters. You know, now that's fascinating because, again, monsters were a part of the terminology and understanding even of our forefathers. So the point is whether you're dealing with the Epic of Gilgamesh or the Beowulf, you know, I don't think people understand. Fascinating that we get words like titanic, colossal, gigantic. We get all those words brought into usage because they existed in a way that could only describe situations that were larger than life, bigger than life, or explain life in a realm and a dimension that most people couldn't comprehend.
Can we carbon date that little alien from Chile?
That's a good question. I will email. I never asked that.
Yeah, let's find out. I'd like to find out if that's possible.
I will
pass
that on. I don't know.
We'll be back with final questions and phone calls for Stephen Coyle on Coast to Coast AM. Well, on our next Coast to Coast program, that's Friday into Saturday morning, Art Bell will be filling in for me. I filled in for him on Sunday, so he has reciprocated. So stand by for Art Bell and open lines on our next Coast to Coast show. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Let's go back to the phones. We'll go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hi there. That went again. Are you
Hello?
There? There you go. Go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, Steve here. Steve, your work is phenomenal, all your research and stuff, but I got to take exception to sort of one tact you're taking. I was fortunate enough to be involved telepathically with the Billy Meyer beam ships, and you're making it sound like everything visiting this planet is evil and out to do us no good. And I know that if that was the case, we would already be done for. And I just wanted to ask you if you think of that there are good angels and good ETs out there, or why you're sort of demonstrating this one-sided perspective of any intervention.
Well, first of all, when you're telepathically communicating with the entities that you're communicating with, what is your basis of saying that they're telling you the truth? First of all, obviously there are good angels because only one-third of the angels of heaven rebelled and were fallen. Second of all, the bottom line is I do not, and I categorically reject what's called the seed theory, genetic seed theory, that we were somehow created by the aliens and they're coming back to help us. They come back to rape women and destroy men. And so I would say this, I am absolutely convinced that until I see differently, the majority of alien phenomenon is based on demonic entities masquerading as celestial saviors.
I see. And well, you say based on your information. I mean, the Illuminati are the minions of the fallen angels, and they're beating up Fallujah. They're trying to get into a Stargate at Fallujah to take the
power.
See,
I don't disagree with you, and there you and I are probably in, but it's not just Fallujah. The thing I don't know is I don't know how many gates there are, but I do know this, that every single area of the world where temples or the giants were, there were gates. And I believe that, Iraq, obviously, you know what Babel means. It doesn't just mean these chain. It means the gateway to the gods.
Yeah, I understand that. And now, with respect to canonization and the history as we sort of are rediscovering it, as far as the Illuminati are concerned, everything right in the world for them is fear, and everything that is wrong in the world for us. And I think the best way to predict the future is to invent it. And I think some of the canonization and some of the historical epochs, if you want to call them that, are being manipulated
Absolutely. Again, I agree with you, because this is a question that continually is being asked. George asked it, an hour ago. Is why is this technology being kept from us? And you're using the word Illuminati, which means the illuminated ones, and the illuminated ones have pledged their allegiance to Lucifer. And
yeah.
Again, the bottom line is I would say this, they not only have kept true history from us, they are inventing a false history, a false messiah, the Antichrist. By the way, the word Antichrist means he who takes the place of Jesus Christ, not just against Jesus Christ. And so the whole world's going to wonder after the beast. And again, the thing is that the Illuminati is using the technology and the control and their surrender to demon and fallen angels to get the information and the technology. And I got to tell you something, I do not believe that, and let's just stick with your focus on the Illuminati, I don't believe that they have our best interests at heart when they're on record as saying, for the sake of the planet, the planetary population has to be depleted by 90%.
I understand. Yeah, well, the information we got during our telepathic sessions with them out here on the West Coast with their beam ships was they were all about spirituality, cleansing our bodies, getting ready for Earth changes, and things like the photon shift and other aspects of both metaphysical and
right. But I got to tell you something. Satan is the prince and power of the air. I believe he is using a lot of the metaphysical realm to basically deceive. Look, you can have 95% truth, but it's the 95% truth and 5% error. It's the 5% error that kills you. And I got to tell you something. You have to have a basis. We all have to have a basis beyond just our subjective feel good. And that's what people accuse me of all the time. I say, no, I have history on my side. I have the testimony of literally the ages to bear witness to what I think. So I'm just saying, be careful, because when you get into the whole realm of spiritism and spiritualism, you're in a realm where deception and seduction become the order of the day.
Let's go to our West of the Rockies line. You're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hello there.
Hello, George. Hello, Stephen.
Yeah. Hello.
This is Matthew in Astoria, Oregon. My question is, you talk about this giant in, what, Afghanistan? That
yes, sir.
Took out a group of soldiers that we have to assume, if they've been there any length of time, have at least seen combat. So the question then becomes, what are people, everyday people, supposed to do to fight back and kill these things should they show up?
Well,
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
And this may only have been one case, Stephen, right?
Well, yeah, but I think the listener is picking up on the obvious. If these things are going to show up, how do you deal with them? I think, first of all, I want to share this, you know, the people have had to deal with these. The Hebrews had to deal with them. I mean, the point is that Native American Indians had to deal with them. I think that, you know, the reason why the first group that went in to check out this cave that got slaughtered is because, quite candidly, they weren't trained or prepared to deal with it, and it takes a special group of men and women to deal with this. I've been told that the men who fight these things and are gifted, literally gifted, I believe, by the living God, and for the record, the guys that fight these guys and the women that fight these entities are phenomenal. When I say this, phenomenal Bible-believing Christians, it doesn't mean that atheists can't do it, but I'm telling you, there's more than sticks and stones and guns and bullets. I mean, it took an elite team to go in and take that thing out, and I got to tell you that I don't think the average guy who's prepared, I've told that some of the men, battle-hardened warriors, have turned gray or white instantly who've encountered these things. So,
can you blame them?
No, I wouldn't. I mean, I got news for you, you know. I mean, I got to tell you something. I don't think that people are prepared. Now, if that's the case, and these guys are warriors, I mean, I can understand why people's hearts would give way, you know, and not to mention their bladders and their bowels.
Next up, let's go to our wild card line. You're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hello there.
Hi, my name is Zachary. I'm in Henderson, Kentucky.
Okay, Zachary.
Yeah, my question for Stephen is, you talk about how you're against genetic alteration.
Yep.
Okay, what about genetic alteration for the advancement of the human species?
Well, I think George already dealt with that, okay? I'm basically telling you that obviously you have the ability to do that in a way that you're not crossing animal and human DNA. But with that comes responsibility and ethics. And I have a hard time believing that some of the same people that are proposing the elimination of 90% of the Earth's population have your or my best interests at hand when they talk about creating a super race. And quite candidly, I would say that if you look into this, and I wrote a book about it, that doesn't make me an expert, just says I've done some homework, you've got to realize that a majority of the proponents of enhanced humanity are also some of the very same people that are saying God made a mistake. He didn't make mankind good enough. We're going to do what God couldn't do. We're going to be what God isn't. Now, I'm just telling you, I think that's vanity. I think it's pride. I think it's arrogance. And I think it's dangerous. And I think it will lead to the destruction of probably half the world's population.
Yeah, but what if by just going in and, say, fixing one genetic flaw, there'd be no more 8-year-old children that have to suffer?
I'm not against that, okay? Now, you're saying fixing, okay? I'm not against that at all. What I am saying is I'm against it when they're saying, well, we need to do this. And when it goes from genetic flaw, well, let's just talk about, if you're watching any of the news lately in this whole realm, they're talking about increasing brain power. They're talking about creating super kids. They're talking about designer babies. Okay, that's all great, but then what's the ethical basis or what's the objective reality that you decide? I'm not talking about flaws. I'm talking about taking that which is okay and saying, no, it's not okay, you know. I'm not big enough, I'm not tall enough, I'm not strong enough, I'm not pretty enough, I'm not this or that or that or the next thing. I'm just saying that I do not believe fallen man has an ethical basis to make those kind of decisions, and I say woe unto those who are saying they're going to enhance humans when that's on the first breath and on the second breath that they can't wait to destroy 90%. Listen, I got to tell you, if you look into it, you'll find out, not all of them, but some of the biggest proponents of genetic alteration and enhancement are also some of the guys that are probably some of the most misanthropic, meaning they're against mankind, individuals you'd ever meet. So, you know, I'm not opposed to helping man. I'm opposed to tweaking man under a subjective ideology that claims that men think that they can do a good job on God. You know, have you heard about the junk genes? When they were doing the Human Genome Project, some scientists found some genes, and they termed them. These were the brightest guys in the world, junk genes. Those junk genes that they determined to be junk genes just happened to have held the genetic plan for longevity and a lot of cures in the body. So I don't trust modern science because I see that their dishonesty in so many areas does of an absolute basis to say they've got my best interest at heart.
First time caller line, you're on the air with Stephen Quayle on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I just want to say, Steve earlier said that a few evangelicals embrace his view. Well, I want to say that I'm an evangelical Christian apologist who actually writes for a website, and I'm in 150% agreement with everything he said.
Well, thank you. I got to tell you, though, and please, you are the exception, not the rule.
Yeah, I know that. And just to share what really blew me away today, I mean, this is just godsend. What got me to accept this view is I read Zechariah Sitchin's book, The 12th Planet.
Yes, sir.
And that really blew my mind away, and I started meditating on Genesis 6, and I came to the conclusion that these stories of these gods visiting the planets were actually the sons of gods, sons of God who came and deceived mankind from the true knowledge of the one God. So I want to know, do you agree with that? Did you come to that similar conclusion?
Would you restate that? Because I'm
okay,
not sure I understand.
I'm sorry. That the sons of God of Genesis 6 came down and corrupted the seed of men, and also misled mankind from the knowledge of the one true God.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because in the book of Enoch and the Psalms where it talks about the dead, they are absolutely desirous of turning men against the ultimate God. And I think you can't get away from that. That's exactly where all of the different mythologies of the world came.
Amen.
For the record, all mythological beings, in my opinion, track it directly back to specific fallen angels having specific sex with specific earth women producing specific giants who became the mighty men and women around, renowned. Some people ask me if there were giantesses. Yes, there were female giantesses.
That's the same conclusion I came to. Now, I'm wondering, you said you wrote a book on this.
Yeah, it's called Genesis 6 Giants. You can get it on my website, stevequayle.com.
Steve Quayle?
Quayle.com.
Quayle. I just want to say you're amazing. You've blown my mind away. And keep up this great work, because there are a lot of people out there that do agree with you and are from the evangelical background.
Well, thank you very much.
So God bless you, man, and the Lord protect you.
Thank you.
Stephen, by the way, more microbiologists continue to die. Have you been following that?
Yes, I have. And, George, you know, I've got to tell you something. I almost hesitate to go there because the information that I'm getting, and I'm not prepared to talk about it right now. I'll send you an email, you know.
Please.
But it directly relates to what we're talking to tonight. And some of the things that are taking place would absolutely make you vomit. I mean, truly vomit. You know, you have a strong stomach. You have an open mind. I believe an open heart, you know. But some of this stuff is getting way, way in the realm of phenomenally wicked and horrendously upsetting.
Well, we've been following this for 3 years now, Stephen, and the list is growing. I mean, it started off at about 10 or so when we started really getting into it. It's got to be, what, well over 80 now at least?
Oh, over 100.
My God.
And so the thing is that I do follow it. As a matter of fact, before I went on the show with you tonight, somebody sent me, they were friends of one that they said, you got to look at this. I went to school with this guy, Steve. I know what he's working on. They say it was an accident. He was worried that they were going to kill him.
Yeah, so they're all accidents, right?
Yeah, they're all accidents. And, you know, somebody sent me an email, if we can just digress a little bit, saying, well, these guys are just, in any given field of science, so many people are going to die. Not the who's who of the world, and not those who are understanding the ramifications of the things they worked on. You remember we talked about Dr. David Kelly?
Yes.
Remember I said,
you
and I did a show together, and I said he was murdered, and, you know, all of the forensic evidence, the body had been tampered with and stuff. That story just came back on the scene less than 30 days
ago. Yep, that's true. That's the Brit, right?
You got it. And that Brit happened to be the head of Britain's Ministry of Defense, their whole biological chemical weapon. So what did he know? Who silenced him and for what reason? I want to share something, George. I believe the chemtrails, Frank, and this is a jump that people need to understand. We hear the word terraforming, T-E-R-R-A, meaning the earth, mm-hmm. you know, forming an earth and a planet trying to enhance the atmosphere.
Sure. Which we want to do to Mars, for example.
You got it. I believe that the entities that are behind the world rulers and leaders are terraforming us, okay? I believe they're literally changing our atmosphere, changing our DNA. And let me share this with you. If people can't see the sinister nature of combining human DNA and plant DNA and then combining human DNA and food that we turn around and ultimately eat, doesn't that sound suspiciously like, on at least a molecular level, a molecular cannibalism?
Absolutely.
And see, that's, you asked me, and I got to tell you something. I languish, and I absolutely languish for the correct terminology to tell how insidiously wicked this is going to become, because it's beyond the science fiction realm. And when science fiction can't even articulate the horrors, then I think that it's a wonderful thing. I want to leave the listeners with this, too. You know, the book of Ephesians says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places." You ask me the question, if it's spiritual, then there's a spiritual protection that comes, too. The 91st Psalm, abiding in the presence of the living God. The guy from Germany, I'd only say this, you know, I don't know how long you've been with the psychological operations of whatever government, but, you know, your question is founded on a premise that's just not accurate.
It's like the old movie Soylent Green, Steve.
Absolutely. And isn't it fascinating that Soylent Green, you know, and for the people that don't know what Soylent Green was, it was a wafer made of ground-up human beings. And, George, that's got to be such a regurgitating type thought. But, again, what happens when the plant and human DNA ceases being, let's say, 90% plant, 10% human, and starts to go 90% human, 10% plant?
Steve Quayle, you let us know about the carbon dating of that little alien, okay?
I will, George. I won't have an answer for a couple days, but I'll email you.
You got it. Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Gina Salvati, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Ross Mitchell, Stephanie Smith, our old friend Alan Corbett, who's helping out these days, Ian Punnett and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition, Art In, Friday night into Saturday morning. Until then, I'll be back in Los Angeles on Monday. Have a great weekend, everyone.